Hello, welcome to Hull, Yorkshire's maritime city. My name is Dave Todd, and on behalf of the Hull Heritage Group's production team of Eric Twigger and Tom Dealey, may I thank you for downloading stage one of our audio guide. We aim to bring to life the remarkable history that is at the heart of this modern city of ours. We hope you will take time out to visit one of the fine museums, or perhaps one of the hostelries, as you make your way around the town. So let's get started with a little bit about Hull itself. Originally, the city was named King's Town upon Hull by Edward I in 1299. It's changed over time to Kingston upon Hull, which incidentally is still its official title. Hull has a unique, well-preserved medieval street pattern, thanks largely to the ring of town docks that were built during the late 18th and early 19th century. They followed the line of the former moat, which lay just outside the town walls. But before we get started, a little bit of safety information. I'm sure you're expecting that. And also a few pointers on how to get the best out of the guide. During the walk, you will come up against some very busy roads, so to give you a chance to cross over, I will play about 20 seconds of seagulls squawking to give you a chance to pause the guide. Once you're over the other side of the road, then obviously you can restart it again. Also, throughout the walk, I'll give you opportunity to pause the guide to take in a little bit more of the area that we're currently visiting. Again, to do this, I will play a little bit of squawking seagulls. We start our walk from Queen Victoria Square, facing the Hull City Hall, with its imposing green copper dome and Corinthian columns. So if you're not already there, it might be better if you pause the guide at this point and restart it when you're standing in Queen Victoria Square facing the City Hall. So to do this, here is your first chance to hear my squawking seagulls. Enjoy. Oh, you're back again. Good. You should now be standing in Queen Victoria Square, facing the City Hall. To all intents and purposes, we're in the centre of the city. Mind you, if you'd have been here in the late 1900s, what you would have seen would have been a warren of back streets and narrow alleys, full of run-down businesses and slum housing. It all changed when Hull Mayor and architect Sir Alfred Gelder devised and implemented his development plan, which opened up this area to create the square, and Alfred Gelder Street, which we will see later on in the walk. The whole area was severely damaged during the Second World War, and many of its buildings were lost. As you may know, Hull was the worst bombed city outside London during the Second World War, and this area was particularly badly hit. You can find out more about Hull and the two world wars in the Want to Know More section of our website. So let's have a look at the square as it is today. I hope you will agree, all things considered, it's made a pretty good recovery. You should be facing the City Hall, so let's start with that. It's Edwardian, built in the Baroque Revival style and completed in 1909. If you look up, you will see, just below the copper dome, two of the four statues representing the arts. And around the front and the sides, there is a frieze depicting sciences, music and the classics. And below that is a balcony, which is used to welcome back Hull's returning heroes, and in this case, heroine. It was here in 1930 that thousands filled the square to greet Amy Johnson back to her native city, following her epic flight to Australia. You can see Amy's return to Hull in the movie tone news of the time on YouTube, if you go to our Want to Know More section. Nowadays, the Hall plays host to both classical and pop concerts, to comedians, exhibitions and many other events. Incidentally, if you're not attending one of the events at Hull City Hall, it's worthwhile getting a glimpse inside if you can. The entrance has a magnificent imperial staircase with marble columns and statues of Hull's great and good. Now in front of you, to your left, is the Hull box office, where you can find out information on many of Hull's attractions, as well as tickets for the theatre and concerts. So now if you could look to your left, beyond the box office and across the street, you will see the very ornate Punch Hotel, built in 1896. You might be able to see that it looks as though it was built on the corner of a street. Well, it was. The street was covered over as part of the Princes Quay development during the 80s. Well, at least we've still got the pub. Now, to the left of the Punch, you will see the rather imposing light-coloured building with two dominant columns. This is the Farren's Art Gallery, opened in 1927. It's considered to be one of the finest provincial galleries in the country, and it played host to the Turner Prize award ceremony in 2017. The gallery includes work by Lanzarotti, Franz Hals, Canaletto, Stanley Spencer and David Hockney, with three rooms dedicated to touring temporary exhibitions. So it's well worth a visit, and admission is free. So if you could now please turn round and face what is the back of our magnificent memorial to Queen Victoria. It was designed by architect J.S. Gibson, and the statue itself was sculpted by C.H. Ferrer. It was unveiled in 1903 by the then Prince of Wales, soon to be George V. Underneath the statue, you'll find our city centre public toilets. It's been said that it's the only place in the country where you can see the Great Queen on the throne. Please now turn to your left, and the building you see with the corner turret, the one that's now a coffee shop, was in fact a branch of Yorkshire Bank, or Yorkshire Penny Bank, as it was originally known. It was opened in 1901 and was part of the Victoria Square development, which saw the City Hall, the Queen Victoria Memorial, as well as the Guildhall, which we'll see later on in the walk. Between you and the coffee shop, you will see Victoria Square fountains set in an attractive paved area. This is part of the whole City of Culture 2017 development. You will see more paved areas and water features as we make our way around the city. Now, to the right of the coffee shop, you will see a building with two of its three magnificent domes in view. This is the Maritime Museum. Built in 1871, it's a striking example of Venetian-style architecture built when Hull was the fastest-growing port in the country. So please make your way round the square towards the museum entrance, and as you reach the entrance, stop. Look up, and on the front of the building you will see images of river gods, angels, cherubs, as well as dolphins, tridents and many other symbols of the sea. Originally, the building was the offices of the Hull Dock Company and operated as a working office until the mid-70s, when it was taken over by the Hull City Council and turned into this superb museum. It has three domes because, rather unusually, it's triangular in shape, and this is for no other reason than it fitted the space available to architect Christopher Wray. It cost just £90,000 to build, which is just over £9 million in today's money. I wonder how much it would actually cost to build today. The Hull Dock Company ran most of its dock operations from here until 1893, when it was taken over by North Eastern Railways, until they in turn were taken over by British Rail in 1948. Hull has a long, distinguished maritime history, which is well represented in this museum, so it really is well worth a visit. It covers fishing, whaling, commercial shipping, and, as with all Hull City Council museums, admission is free. Please now continue to walk past the entrance to the museum to the right-hand corner and turn left. Once you've turned left, make your way to the image of a bow of a ship, which you will see ahead of you. This is an artwork in memory of those lost at sea. Let's hear what singer-songwriters Christopher Rowe and Ian Clark had to say about Queen Victoria Square as we make our way to the memorial.
If anyone should come to Hull to spend a day or three, they'll find a wondrous city laid out for all to see. But it's not the parks and gardens that catch the tourist's eye. They find a sight that's quite unique and have to stop and stare. Victoria on a toilet in the middle of a square. Victoria, Victoria, Gloria, Victoria. They loved her well and none can tell just why they had to spoil it. She's not amused, she's been abused. She overlooks her toilet, but flushed with pride, Victoria sits and to the world presents her regal chains of office, five ladies and six gents. Victoria, Victoria, Gloria, Victoria. They loved her well and none can tell just why they had to spoil it. She's not amused, she's been abused. She overlooks her toilet.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. It's a clip from Christopher Rowe and Ian Clarke's album Songs for Humberside, published in 1971. You can hear full versions of Gloria Victoria and other songs from the album on YouTube if you go to the Want to Know More section on our website. Okay. You should now be standing at the memorial, so with your back to the museum, you will see in front of you one of Hull's unique offerings, a cream phone box. Please step forward and take a closer look. Hull were the only place in the country not to join the National Telephone Scheme when it was introduced in the early 1900s. For that reason, Hull and the surrounding areas have no red phone boxes and never have had. Our telephone system is now owned and run by the public quoted company CAECOM, but prior to that, it was a department of Hull City Council. Now, apart from the colour, there is one other distinguishing feature about our telephone boxes compared to the red ones of the same type in the rest of the country. Any thoughts? Well, it's that there is a crown cast into the frame above the door and the three sides of the red phone boxes. But the crowns have been removed from the Hull boxes because at the time they were bought by Hull Corporation, the National Telephone Scheme was run by the Post Office, a government department, so the boxes were in fact crown property. Hull's were not crown property, therefore no crown. Isn't it interesting how times and attitude have changed over the years? You can hear more about Hull's cream phone boxes in the Want to Know More section on our website. So, if you could now look beyond the phone box, away from the museum, you will be looking out onto a fountain and flower garden, which is known as the Rose Bowl, and beyond that, Queen's Gardens. This all makes for a lovely green oasis in the middle of a bustling city. Mind you, if you'd have been here in 1930, you would have been standing on the edge of a vast expanse of water, which was Queen's Dock. The dock was opened in 1778, that's just 2 years after the American War of Independence, and at that time was the largest dock in the country. Can you imagine walking round here? There would be ladies in crinoline dresses and men with tricorn hats. Sorry, I'm not suggesting that the whole men only wore tricorn hats. I'm sure they had waistcoats and breeches and whatever. Moving on. The dock itself stretched over 500 metres in front of you down to the River Hull. The width is indicated by the streets you can see on either side of the gardens. An indication of the history of this area can be found in the street names like Dock Street, Queen's Dock Avenue and Quay Street. Originally, the dock was known simply as The Dock. And then the Old Dock, when Hull's second dock, now the Marina, was opened in 1809. We'll see the Marina later on in the walk. And it was finally named Queen's Dock in honour of the visit of Queen Victoria and Prince Albert in 1854. If you could now look across the street, at about 1 o'clock, you will see the very ornate Empress Hotel. Its look is typical of a dockside tavern from the late 19th century. You will notice just how tall and narrow it is. Well, this is because it started life as a warehouse with toilets in the building next door. Can you imagine trying to get away with that these days? So here we are at the end of stage one of our walk. I trust you've enjoyed it and we'll see you back for stage two. Incidentally, you can see just how things have changed around here in our Now and Then section on our website. So, if you could step back a few paces and look to your right, and you will see across the square the entrance to Princes Quay Shopping Centre, but this is the start of stage two of our walk. At this point, you may wish to take a closer look at the outside or even the inside of the Maritime Museum, take a walk around the Queen's Gardens even, or just carry on walking. Whatever your choice, when you're ready for stage two, please make your way across the square to the entrance of Princess Quay Shopping Centre and enter stage two into the Old Town in your handset. Hope to see you there.